Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is your host, Brian. Today's July the 10th, Thursday, here on Blog Talk Radio. And today we're doing an American, a really American global tradition, but a big time here in America. We are talking about camping. Yes, camping. It's camping season here in the summer all over. And we're doing a three-part series. We're going to talk about different parts of camping and cooking together. Our edition is Fireside Creation, Outdoor Cooking with Tents. Our theme today is tents. You know, this is camping with no electricity. Wood, fire, lanterns, talking, marshmallows, s'mores, this is where we're going to be talking about camping today here on Flavor. Well, listen, we'll be back with more of our show. We're going to visit Tennessee. We'll be right back. With our camping cooking edition. And, you know, we go to Tennessee. There's some great mountains in Tennessee, and it's called the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Yes, we visit Dana Schoen, and she's the media representative for the Great Smokies, and kind of listen in our interview. It was a cool interview. I mean, I've been through Tennessee. I know it's a long state, but I didn't know they had this, you know, as far as I knew about the Great Smokies. I mean, I've heard music, songs about it, but here's our interview.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian, your host, and today, everyone, we are talking about camping, and we're visiting a great national park here in America, and it's called, everybody knows, the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. And we have the media spokesperson, Dana Soens. She's here with us here on Flavor. How are you doing, Dana?
I am doing great, looking out my window right into the heart of the Great Smoky Mountain National Park.
Wow, they're in Tennessee. I've heard so there's songs named after your mountains. There's Moose.
Yeah, the park is half in Tennessee and half in North Carolina. So it's about 500,000 acres. It has about equal land in both states.
Wow. Now, I remember looking at it. It said it's connected to Blue Ridge Mountains and different. It's connected to many mountains, or how's that?
That's right, the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah, Appalachian Mountains, Blue Ridge Mountains. Wow.
And so the Appalachian Trail, if you chose to hike along it, we have 70 miles that cross along our highest peaks in the park.
Now, you know, on our show this time we are doing our series. Our first part is on tent, a lot of tent camp. So how did that work out when, you know, somebody's going camping with a tent? And how does that work out? Because, you know, I'm looking at it, you have 16 mountains, 16 different mountains there in Tennessee.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of opportunities for camping in the national park.
Okay.
We have 9 different campgrounds with over 1,000 different campsites that people can drive their car right to. Those are our front country campsites. And each one of those campsites has a small grill area where, you know, people can be very creative with how they use that in outdoor cooking. Of course, it's also an opportunity for people to bring their camp stoves.
Yep.
A lot of people will take advantage of the opportunity to do some Dutch oven cooking and get really creative.
Wow, but you smell a lot of smells there, different types of foods flying everywhere.
Yeah, and then we also have 800 miles of backcountry trails in the park where we have about 100 backcountry campsites. And those get a little more creative with how you're going to select the foods that you're going to want to carry.
What does that mean? What do you mean by, sorry, Dana, I mean creative, like because of you're doing it in the mountains?
Because you're going to carry whatever you're going to cook.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, of course, you wouldn't want to carry heavy canned foods,
okay.
But you can still make it kind of a gourmet meal even in the backcountry.
What types of foods do a lot of the different people bring up when they're hiking? What kind of food they bring up, you know?
Yeah, most people are going to, you know, use a small camp stove. And so typically people are going to bring something that's very light, like maybe a pasta or a rice dish, something that's non-perishable. But if it's your very first day on your backpacking trip, you might have a special treat and, you know, be able to bring something that is perishable that first day so you can add something creative like shrimp or steak or what have you.
Wow. So you can get creative, like you're saying. So can people count, you know, since there's the Great Smokies have 16 different mountains, you can go, okay, I want to choose this mountain, and you just kind of, you drive to that area, park, to that certain mountain, and then you just hike up, and then you can set up a tent there at that mountain, at each different mountain?
Well, it's a mountain range,
okay.
And so it's just a series of rolling mountains across the park, and we have 9 established front country campgrounds. And so you have to camp in an established campground.
Mm.
We also have 11 picnic areas for people that just want to have a day use experience. And you can have breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever in one of those sites. And then the 100 sites in our backcountry are also established backcountry sites. So you know exactly where you're going to go, and there's a spot for you to set up your tent and a space for you to protect your food from the bears.
Wow. Yes, you know, I was talking to my girlfriend. She's from Salt Lake, and she was telling me, I was asking her about there's certain ways when you're camping that you have to have your food, that you have to use some strategy in the way you put your food up and how your tents are set up apart from each other. Is that's true?
Yeah, in the Smoky Mountains, we have black bears, and they are incredible tree climbers. So we have cable systems in all of our backcountry sites where you can use a pulley system to hang your food to where it's unreachable for the bears.
Wow, that's cool. So you can hang as far as a different type of dishes there and everything. Have you ever, Dan, have you ever had different experiences with bears yourself?
Well, absolutely. We estimate that in the park there's over 1,500 black bears. So
you have to tell us a bear story. Tell us a bear.
Well,
come on.
it's very common for people to have that experience, and it's pretty special when you're in the middle of the backcountry and you're coming down the trail and the bear is also using the trail system just like we are.
Yes.
So you can have some pretty exciting moments as you come around a corner and there's a bear right there.
Yeah, but you know, I'm thinking the first thing you do is not, I mean, I know you have to panic, but the first thing you do is kind of like, you know, kind of walk backwards and then run, or how's that?
That's right. You should always back up slowly, because very often the bear just wants space to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get an incredible experience. I was hiking with my son about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking down the trail. The bear was right there about 30 feet from the trail, and we did the right thing. We stopped. We let the bear pass in front of us to cross the trail at an appropriate distance. He climbed up in a tree and feasted on some service berries, and we were able to sit at a good distance away from him and watch him feast for about 15 minutes.
Mm. Wow. Because I know the bear has the right of way, you know.
That's right, and we don't want to do anything that disturbs them from that opportunity to take advantage of the natural foods.
Yes. Wow. Now, you guys have, like, lots of different types of ants. Like, I heard 200 different type of species, plant life, the salamander. You have lots of, because it's a, you know, they call it the Great Mountain Smokies for a reason, you know, because you have lots of different things there.
Yeah, we are well known for the diversity of plants and animals in the Smokies. We have lots of elevation gradations and a lot of different topography, a lot of different weather systems. We have some very dry areas in the park, and then we have some areas that are temperate rainforest.
Wow. So that's a whole different style of camping, your rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
People go in there when in the rainforest to camp, too?
Absolutely.
No way. Oh, they're like, hey, we're going in there. That's incredible. Wow. Tell us some good dishes that you've had there at the Great Mountains when, as far as the Great Smokies, the different dishes and foods that you've had there.
Well, I'm camping in the front country and don't have to worry about weight. I really enjoy cooking in a Dutch oven.
Cool. Okay.
So a lot of great dishes that you can make there, and a lot of great desserts. I mean, you can bake an elaborate cake or cobbler in a Dutch oven, and you can also, you know, make your entire meal. You can make your dinner there, and then the next morning you can have pancakes and use the lid as kind of your frying surface. And then in the backcountry, we usually make pasta and rice dishes and try to spice them up, especially on that first day when you don't have to worry about using only non-perishable foods.
As being there on the Great Smokies, you've met a lot of different campers, and they've passed on different recipes and ideas. So how that worked out by learning different, you know, if I'm new in the, because I went camping, and they seemed really, you know, nice. They said, come on over, try this, try that, you know.
That's right. And there's a wealth of websites where people are dedicated to creative cooking while they're camping.
Right. True. Well. Well, I mean, can you, I was wondering, you know, I always ask for a good story, you know, on our show. Could you tell us a good story that happened there at the Great Smokies in the mountains there in Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would... Probably one of the more interesting times that I had while hiking in the backcountry, so we were talking about, you know, sharing your space with wild animals and being in bear country when you're out there.
Yes.
What was hiking along, finally getting to our campsite again in the backcountry and preparing, getting ready to make the meal. And as soon as the, everything started heating up and the smells were wafting, looking over into the distance, and very patiently a bear sitting there watching us from about 30 yards away. Very patiently.
Not funny, but funny. I understand. Got it.
Yes, but patiently waiting to see, you know, if he was going to be able to share our meal that night.
Wow.
So.
Wow. So he sat there the whole time?
Yes, we quickly ate and put our food up and made sure that he knew he wasn't going to find a handout that night in our campsite.
Right. You're like, we're not giving up our food, okay?
Yeah.
You don't, if you're the bear, we're still not giving up our food.
Yeah.
You stood your ground. That's cool. All right. Wow. Listen, can you tell everybody where to reach the Great Smokies and how to get there? And then the cost. What's the cost as far as going camping there, as far as a tent? You're bringing a tent there, and what's the different cost and everything?
Most of our country campsites range from about $14 to $22 per site. And then in the backcountry, it's $4 per night per person.
Great cost. Where could they reach you as far as a website or?
Yeah, the best place to get information is to go to www.nps.gov/grsm.
Well, Dana, this has been really cool. Thank you for being on our show and talking about the Great Smoky Mountains there in Tennessee and just telling us about everything that goes on in camping, you know?
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you for being on our show.
Bye.
We're back here on Flavor Living Radio. That was Dana there in the Great Smoky Mountains. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, if you build a lot of character. You know, I've seen bears at zoos, and you build a lot of character when you see a bear face to face. You know, that's all. You're a whole different person when you see many bears year after year for camping. And I've been camping, but I haven't seen a bear yet face to face. You know, but we're gonna move on, and they were talking about the Smokies. We're gonna move on to, you know, beach. You know, when you have a tent and you're at the ocean, what to do? Some tips when you go camping at the beach.
Beach camping is one of my favorite types of camping. The thing about beach camping is that you're getting, for probably free, a beautiful beach almost entirely to yourself that most people are paying hundreds or thousands of dollars to experience, to have a beach all to themselves. I've done beach camping on Fire Island. I've done beach camping on the Outer Banks, and both times were awesome. Beach camping is definitely more challenging than camping in the woods. The biggest issue is that there's no shade, so there's no trees. There's no way to escape the sun unless you go in your tent. And the tent is going to be so hot, it's like a sauna in there. So you want to prepare or figure out a way to avoid the sun without having to stay in your tent all day. What I did was we brought a tarp and we found some driftwood and we set up a lean-to with the tarp and the driftwood, and we were able to be away from the sun, and we got a great breeze, and we just laid under the lean-to a good part of our days. The other thing is that sunscreen is not going to cut it. Of course, bring sunscreen, but you're going to want to bring t-shirts and hats and pants and stuff to actually block the sun. Another thing is that tents, when they're in the sand, probably require a longer tent stake. If it's windy, the tent stakes could come up. Even just the sand gets moved around, so they're really cheap. You can get them at most camping stores, just a longer tent stake, and it'll keep the tent more securely in place. Something else on some beach trips is raccoons. Raccoons live at the beach, so in some places. So you may need to bury your food or figure out a way to store it so that the raccoons can't get at it. Another thing about beach camping is that there's not going to be a lot of wood around to build a fire. If you're lucky, you might be in a place where a lot of driftwood washes up. In North Carolina on the Outer Banks, that was the case. We would wake up in the morning and there would be so much driftwood, we would just collect it and have it for fire at night. Also, you might want to, if you are lucky enough to have firewood, or maybe you brought some with you, you're going to probably want to dig out a little bit of a hole in the sand and start your fire in a pit. The other thing I should mention too about beach camping is that a lot of times it's not permitted to camp on the dunes. And dunes on beaches are where it's kind of the most secluded. People are often really attracted to it because it's got some greenery and you can kind of hide your tent in the dunes. But a lot of animals, the dunes are a sanctuary for so many animals. They're also a place with a lot of ticks sometimes. So just make sure you follow the rules of wherever you're camping. If they're protecting the dunes, they're probably protecting them for a really good reason. I mean, for all the little additional heartaches that camping at the beach causes, it couldn't be more worth it. You will have a beach pretty much to yourself. Oftentimes you get to go skinny dipping. It's great. Beach camping is fantastic.
We're back, and that was talking about beach camping. That sounds pretty nice. You're at the ocean, kind of relaxing, and you have to use a little more skills than having the woods and all the resources there, you know. But, you know, we move on. Have you heard of the Chronicle of the West? There's a radio show, and we have it. Wait a minute. Before I tell this story, we got to have a camping song. You know, we got to have a camping song. So let me see what I have here. Let me see.
Ready?
I was singing it with those guys. I mean, that's called the banana song. You know, when you go to campgrounds, the banana song. So we are going back. The Chronicles of the Old West. Here, he's a radio host, Dakota Livesay. He has a syndicated radio show. He's talking about the Old West. And here he talks about the Dutch oven, how let me stop here. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, talk about that.
Okay, we're on air. This is Flavor Living, and we have Dakota Livesay, correct?
Correct.
He is from the Chronicles of the Old West, and they have an article called The Chuck Wagon, and they're talking about cooking. Our show is about camping and cooking. We got kind of a special guest. He's going to tell us about how they cooked back in the West, and some of the recipes you can use today when people go camping, correct? Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, matter of fact, we have people that use them at home.
Ah.
Yes.
So,
yeah, back in the Old West, everything was Dutch oven. They didn't have the type of stoves that we have now. It was an open fire using wood and sometimes even buffalo chips.
Ah, so that's easy to carry along when you go camping. So that's what it is. Because, you know, I talked to a couple of, you know, I talked to Yellowstone today, and they also mentioned the Dutch oven. So this is a popular way of cooking when camping.
That's right. And there are several events where they do Dutch oven cook-offs. There are also events, the Chick Wagon, which is the wagon that the cook would use on trail drives, and they have chuck wagon cook-offs as well.
No, and so like how, you know, when John Wayne and the Westerns, you know, when they kind of have it reenacted, kind of like, and they have it right there.
That is correct. They have authentic, many times it's actual chuck wagons from the 1800s that have been used on ranch work that have been remodeled, and they have currently made ones as well, but they have to be made to the style of the 1800s, and they cook meals, and if you attend the event, you can purchase a meal just like you would if you were going to a restaurant.
Wow.
And you know, it's quite often a stew and things like that.
Now, could you give us a couple of good dishes that would be good for, you know, like if I'm going camping, I can bring in my backpack, or if I'm going, you know, with my tent, what's some good dishes to make, you know?
Well, you know, I wish I could. I'm not the cook in the family.
Okay.
We have that. However, I can tell you something that I used to do. When a group of us would go hunting, we would take a Dutch oven, and about a 10-inch Dutch oven.
Okay.
And we would put potatoes in it. We would put carrots in it. We would take a can of beef broth. We would put some meat in it as well.
Okay.
And then the fire that we had when we cooked breakfast, we would take and dig a hole. We would take some of the coals, put it at the bottom of that hole. We would put the Dutch oven on top of those coals. We would take some more coals and put them on top of the Dutch oven. And then we would take the dirt and pile it back into that hole. And then in the evening when we came back, those coals had continued simmering, and it had continued cooking all day. So when we came back in the evening, when we were hungry and cold and looking for something great, we had stew.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's that type of thing that can be done very, very easily.
Wow, and that's an instant oven with layers, like heat on the bottom, heat on the top, everything.
That's right. When they cook with a Dutch oven and it's cast iron, and what they do is they put briquettes or coals from the fire on the bottom and also on the top, and therefore it cooks. I used to I had a barbecue that was like one of those 55-gallon barrels on its side.
Okay.
And when we had company, we would cook ribs, and my wife would take a Dutch oven. She would take pineapple and put it on the bottom of that Dutch oven. Then she would take cake mix and pour it on top. And when I took the ribs off of the briquettes, I would then take some of those coals, put them aside, put the Dutch oven on top of some of the coals, and then put other coals on top of the Dutch oven. We would go, our company would have, and we would have our dinner. And then after dinner, I would go out there, I would grab that Dutch oven, I would take the coals off, and during that time, that cake had cooked.
Wow.
And it was always just a great, great cake.
Yeah, because that's from the earth and just everything. Wow.
Yep, right.
Wow. You know, I've I've always wanted to go. That would be really neat to check out, the Chuckawagon Festival. Is that a festival that happens every year? You know?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, they happen all over.
You are educating me today. Wow.
I would say go to the internet and check out Chuckawagon Cook-Offs. And I know they're we live in the White Mountains. There's one that's going to be next month up here. In the following month, there's going to be one down in Phoenix, and we go to both of those. And I'm sure that wherever you happen to be, there will be a Chuckawagon Cook-Off.
Well, I'm in Virginia. Month. I'm in Hampton Roads, Virginia. And,
yep.
And you're in Arizona. I see you're in Arizona.
Yep.
So,
right.
Wow. Well, Dakota, I mean, thanks, man. I mean, would you want to say anything to people who are camping, starting out new camping and cooking outside?
Well,
what type of advice you'd like to give them?
Yeah, well, the biggest advice I would give for people that are cooking outside, here in Arizona where we live, we are up in the mountains at 6,500 feet.
Mm.
We normally have a lot of snow during the wintertime. However, this past winter we had very little snow, and the snow is very important because of the national forests that are all around us. And unfortunately, it was very dry. They closed the forest, and we were not supposed to be building fires.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, some people did, and we ended up with several forest fires. I would say do not ever leave a campfire that has any embers at all in it. You may think that it may be out, but take your hand and put your hand on the coals and all of that to make sure, because a wind will come up and blow those sparks and cause a fire.
Wow.
But as far as cooking out, I'll tell you what, I've never had a meal when I was cooking out that wasn't great.
Yes.
Just something about being outdoors in the wild that is just great.
You are telling the truth. You are telling the truth, Dakota. Wow. Well, listen, thank you for being on our show. He's from Dakota's from the Chronics of the Old West .com. And Dakota, thank you for educating us and telling me about the Chuckawagon Cook-Offs, you know? Come on.
That's quite okay, and you enjoy yourself back east.
All right. You too on the west. All
right. Okay.
All right. There you have it. That's from Dakota. That was great advice that he gave about the fires and the dry areas, different campsites here in the U.S., you know. But we are going on with our show. This, you know, I went camping as a Cub Scout, Weeblo, Boy Scout. And we have a den mother who goes camping with, you know, Cub Scouts. And what better advice from a den mother to tell us about camping and what to pack when you're camping?
Well, Pam, thanks for coming out and doing this. Really appreciate it. So you're a Cub Scout den mom.
Yes.
What exactly does that mean?
Well, that means that I have 11 9-year-old boys who I take to the woods quite frequently and try to control them and teach them to camp and enjoy a camping experience.
Well, that's why we've asked you to come and kind of give us some insight into cooking outdoors. A lot of people who are used to cooking indoors but probably fear, you know, what does it look like to feed a family outside? Let's talk about meal planning, because I feel like that's a critical component to being successful cooking outdoors.
Well, I think the most important thing is not to be afraid of it. That, yes, you are in a woods. You don't have a refrigerator or a pantry you can go to if you've forgotten something. So you may need to do a little bit more preparedness, but you're in the woods. It's an adventure. So if you forgot something, just make do. Everybody has fun. It's a great time to spend time with your family and cook together, because most of us are busy during the week. We may not have our kids in the kitchen cooking with us. So this is a great time to take a step back, take a little more time cooking lunch, and everybody has a good time.
For someone who comes out for the first time, what are some things that could potentially frustrate them?
Well, part of it's your personality. I'm type A personality, so I've always felt that if you couldn't do it well, don't try. And so that has been a huge wall for me. How could I go to the woods with these children or my family and feed them well? I want them to be happy. So I just thought, just take it as an adventure, and started finding some great recipes and just sort of eased into it. I didn't try anything too difficult the first time. It was very successful. Everyone loved it. Each time I try something maybe a little bit more adventurous. And so now everybody loves being in the kitchen. They beg me to cook.
Getting back to some of that meal planning.
Okay.
You know, what did it take to get 9 meals into this small little cooler?
Well, some of the difficulty of camping today is that there's just so much stuff. And without making this an expensive hobby, everybody's going to eat. So if you just take what you need for the meal, then you don't have so much to take home. And so what I've done to try to be more prepared is I selected recipes or meals that my family likes at home, and I've just pre-cut everything. I try to do either what needs to be frozen on the bottom next to my dry ice, or what I need last for my last meal. If you know your family and how many you're cooking for and how much people eat, then you pack exactly what you need, and you eat it all up, and you go home basically with an empty cooler.
Good. So, well, you've got a bucket here. So what, what do you have?
These are my things that need to stay on ice over my camping experience for 2 days. And in here I have any, you know, non-perishables.
Okay.
I have pancake mix, coffees, anything that you can pile in. The reason I do it in a bucket, it's easy to carry. You can use the bucket for a multitude of uses afterwards. You can use it as a trash can.
Okay, Pam, that's great. So where do we begin?
Well, as a camper, you're going to want to decide what level of skill you have in your own kitchen and what you're going to cook. So if you don't cook at home, this is not a good time to start with something elaborate.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So when you go to the woods, you're going to want to go with recipes that you feel comfortable doing at home, something whipped together, but nothing too difficult. You can do anything in the woods that you can do in your home.
So let's take breakfast, for example. Where would you start there?
Well, if you don't cook at home, I would try something very, very, very simple. I would take, they have great pancake mixes where you just add water, shake it up, and pour it on a griddle.
And that's pretty hard to mess up. Yeah.
You can do that.
Okay.
You can do that. If you want to do something more, a little bit more entertaining, you can make a ham and cheese omelet on a camp stove. Very simple. If you want to get into more of the camp style excitement and adventure, I would recommend doing some Dutch oven type activities. It's easy to do, but because not everybody grew up doing it, it seems, you know, forbidden, but it's easy to do, and so I'll show you a couple of those tips.
So by camp style, you mean cooking with the Dutch oven, a Dutch oven specifically designed for cooking outdoors, correct?
Absolutely. A Dutch oven for outdoors cooking has a rim around the top of the lid to hold charcoal briquettes on it in place.
And here's the thing, too, like, for me, cooking outdoors, it just tastes better. I mean, you could be cooking a tennis shoe and a t-shirt with some hot sauce, and it just is going to taste good because you're cooking it outdoors. There's something about that that just makes everything just taste better.
A nice warm meal around the fire is just fabulous. There's nothing better.
Well, I'm really looking forward to learning about cooking with the Dutch oven. I've heard about that. I don't have very little experience doing that, so I don't know about you, but I'm ready to start cooking.
Let's cook.
Let's cook.
Well, that's our show. That's our first show for a three-part series on Fireside Creation with cooking and camping outside. We hope you enjoyed our show, and you got to come back for more. We have more. We have a park ranger from Washington State next week, and there's more. I can't wait to tell you guys more guests, more surprises, and listen, eat well, drive safe, and happy camping. Do some good camping. This is summertime. This is summertime in America. So, and thank you for listening to Flavor Living Radio.
Thank you.